This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The man's name is Masoud Pezeshkian. He is the new president of the Islamic Republic of Iran. In the campaign prior to his election, he was regarded of the canvas as the reformer, small r. I welcome John Bolton, former national security advisor to the president, former ambassador to the United Nations, writing at Independent Arabia, to meet Masoud Pezeshkian. Who is he, John, and why did the Ayatollah bless his ascendancy after the untimely death of the hanging judge, Raisi? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, I think Pezeshkian is very much an interim appointment. Obviously, they didn't expect Raisi to die. In fact, he was touted as a potential successor to the current supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei, who is in his mid-80s and in poor health. And since he's only the second supreme leader since the Islamic Revolution in 1979, they were looking for a more orderly succession. Well, that's gone now, and the need to fill the presidency meant they couldn't spend a lot of time arguing about the succession. So Pezeshkian, I think, has been a loyal servant of the regime since he first got involved in politics. I think they thought perhaps he had a few moderate, quote-unquote, thoughts, but he would do what he was told ultimately by the person who rules the country. Remember that title, Supreme Leader. It has a certain ring to it. And if not, that he was easily disposed of. So he was approved by the Guardian Council, the ideological guarantors of the purity of the Islamic Revolution, and he attracted enough attention to win. Now, I must say, it's hotly debated what the actual turnout figures were. Even by the regime's own numbers, the turnout was low. Opposition groups believe it was far lower than that. So the election's a defeat for the regime in many respects, simply by the turnout. And I don't think Pezeshkian is going to have any influence on the key issues of nuclear weapons, ballistic missiles, or support for terrorism. As I said in the article, this was really a contest between hardliners and a moderate hardliner. It's hardly any difference at all.
Before we move on to Pezeshkian's presence, Ebrahim Raisi, I called him the hanging judge because I was taught that he was associated with hundreds of deaths during the early days of the revolution. He's about as far from a reformer as it gets. Was he successful? He was in place when they launched the war in against Israel.
Yeah, look, Raisi has successfully navigated the turmoil after Mahsa Amini's death, the Kurdish woman who was executed basically for not complying with the dress codes applicable to women. He was something, as you say, he was a hanging judge. He was known as the Butcher of Tehran, and I think he suited the Ayatollah Khamenei just fine. And you know, Pezeshkian was part of the apparatus of government. It's not like he was some dissenter out there on the main streets of Tehran with a sign in his hands. So I think that the government's going to roll right along, and if any dissent arises, that they know how to eliminate it in Iran. That's for sure.
We're told in the pages of the Wall Street Journal, where you often appear, John, we're told that the contest between Jerusalem and Tehran is right in front of us. It hasn't moved on even slightly. And that in conversations between the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of Israel, there has been friction for some time about Israel defending itself by attacking Iran, forbidden to attack Iran. I believe the quote in the Wall Street Journal editorial page is, "You're on your own if you attack," said Mr. Biden to Mr. Netanyahu. Is that part of choosing Pezeshkian? Is the Ayatollah trying to gesture in some fashion towards doves of peace to look to Mr. Biden's leadership to make a deal?
Well, I think he thinks the Biden administration is filled with suckers, and so is the American press this morning. Just like clockwork, as night follows day, the headline on page two, I don't have it in front of me, but it's something to the effect of, could this new president signal a change in Iran? I mean, to give the Ayatollahs probably more credit than they deserve, what they've done is put a smiley face in front of the world to represent this brutal medieval regime. Unlike the butcher of Tehran, Raisi, not much of a smiley face. Here's this guy, Pezeshkian, that in the outside world, he may be, you know, halfway well known in Iran, but the outside world doesn't know him. And they'll come up with all kinds of things. You know, he probably reads poetry. He likes Western suits. I mean, they'll find a dozen things to say to lull themselves into the belief that here's somebody who will get us back into the 2015 nuclear deal. So, you know, maybe the Ayatollahs had this planned all along. They thought maybe it's time to lighten up the public image a little bit, but they have scored a PR coup. Again, I would underline there's absolutely no evidence of any change in strategic thinking or any real possibility that could happen.
Imagining the future, we have a binary facing us, John, as we do every 4 years. Imagining the future for Mr. Biden is easy, more of the same, a gesture towards reawakening the Iran deal. However, the second Trump administration you point to in your essay is suggestive that it will not be the severe sanctions of the first term. What do you imagine it'll be, John? Where's it going?
Well, we don't know. I mean, it is always possible with Trump because anything is possible. And no one is really in a position to predict what Trump will do, because at this moment, as we speak, Trump doesn't know what he's going to do, and he's not thinking about it. Ironically, because of Trump's kind of basic MO in life of let's make a deal, the Iranians could play on that and say, indeed, here's your man, Pezeshkian. Why don't you sit down and see if you can work something out on this nuclear question? And Trump may do it. Remember, this is the man who became the first American leader to meet with the current ruler of the North Korean hereditary communist monarchy, Kim Jong-un. Got a lot of publicity at it, liked it so much he met him again and then met him again. So I don't put it beyond the realm of the feasible that Trump would look at this and say, why don't we try a negotiation? What headlines I would get if I did that?
The Prime Minister of Israel, I mentioned him, Mr. Netanyahu, is due into Washington next week to meet with the President and address Congress. Can the Prime Minister of Israel in some fashion influence the future, John, given the threat to his country? Can he influence either Mr. Biden or Mr. Trump in their decisions?
Well, he's going to do his best. I mean, he knows that Trump is in the lead. I think everybody can see it. In fact, after the disastrous presidential debate for Biden and the attack in Pennsylvania, the election at the presidential level may well be over. But I tell you, there's nobody active in leadership today in the U.S. or Israel who understands the threat, the strategic threat posed by Iran, better than Bibi Netanyahu. And I think he wants to get Washington, either the present administration or maybe the next administration, focused on that, not simply looking at it as a war in Gaza, but as a wider war in the Middle East, the Iranian ring of fire strategy around Israel. That's what Netanyahu thinks about, and he's been trying ever since October the 7th, the date of the Hamas attack, to get Biden to understand there is a much bigger strategic picture here, much more threatening to Israel and to the interest of the United States in the region.
John Bolton is a former national security advisor, Trump administration, former ambassador to the United Nations, the George W. Bush administration. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashton.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.